I want to get into an aspect of warfare that I believe is really critical. And I've talked about this to a degree before, I'm sure. But it's one subject that I don't mind, covering again. One of the aspects of spiritual warfare that's really important, I want you to think of something. In the early church, there was martyrdom. We know Nero was brutal on Christians, brutal. We saw all kinds of people, they were going to their death. In fact, the word witness is really comes from the word martyr. So in the early days when you said, you didn't say, let's go witness. You would be a witness, somebody would make you a witness. Many times that was with the shedding of your blood. Isn't it interesting that the meaning of that word was those who were willing to give their life, and their witness many times was in their death, not denying Christ. I think we lose some of that today only because I think to a degree, you know, modern language, the way things break down, and we kind of think of, now, there's nothing wrong with going to say, let's go witness, but I'm just trying to give you the roots of that word. You see, the early church, they're being attacked by religious community. They're being attacked by the government. That the religious community had actually, in many ways, in Rome, it was really the Jewish community, the religious community that rejected the Messiah that really stirred up a lot of the hatred. It actually started, think about this, it started in the church and then it worked its way to the government. You wonder if we'll see a replay of that one. But when you look at the warfare they were seeing, there was an incredible war they were seeing. Was it, you know, the Pharisees? Was it Nero? Was it Rome? Was it, you know, the religious people? What was raging against the church? What was the actual battle? Was that the battle? As they were being you know, burned at the stake, as they were being fed to the lions because there was a bloodthirst in the crowds. You realize that people would come and pay to the Colosseum. They would pay to get into the Colosseum to see Christians martyred. It was sport. And I don't know about you, but if I was alive in that era, I might be saying, all right, where's the battle raging? And a lot of people would say, it's raging against Rome for doing this. They would say, he's using the Pharisees. The devil is using the Pharisees, and that's the point of battle. But actually, it was one of the most powerful weapons that Satan's ever messed with. And it wasn't any of that stuff. Because the biggest weapon that the early believers were facing was one that Satan pulls out of his hat a lot, in thoughts, imaginations. It really wasn't. Again, people make this mistake all the time. It wasn't necessarily that Satan's whole battle was against them by having them martyred, although that was one of his intentions. But the battle of the mind was critical. And let me explain why I'm saying this. The imaginations of the heart, the imaginations of the mind, the way they thought was going to dictate whether they rejected Christ to save their own life or whether they said, I choose Christ, rather, and I choose Christ, they will not deny him even unto death. The way you think, your brain is the point of contact for most of the warfare that you see. It isn't your situations. In fact, until we really learn to understand that every time something comes, we often deal with events. I do, you do. I've had traumatic events, so have you. But the greater battle wasn't just the event, really. The greater battle was how I saw it. The greater battle is what it did to my thinking. And that therein lies the whole thing. A common misperception is that people often feel the physical situation is the point of battle, and that's not it at all. It's their mind. It's what you're thinking. It's how you're seeing. It's your perception. Now, I'm not giving you some mind over matter rap, but rather when we look at real warfare, this is where everything starts. In fact, I want to say something else to you, and you may not realize this. Your thoughts don't come from your emotions. Your emotions come from your thinking. A lot of people are so backwards with this. If you want to feel better or feel correctly, let your thinking be in order. In fact, chasing emotions without understanding that it all bursts from the mind, the imaginations, and the way you see things, it's like chasing your tail. You'll never catch it because you're not even getting it at the point where Satan is bringing it. But this is a common misperception. And one of our greatest battles we face will always be in the minds, just as it was in the early church. Because if they let fear in, if they saw things wrong, like, hey, we're going to be fed to the lions, we need to deny Jesus, and we need to vow allegiance to Caesar, we need to vow allegiance to Nero, then they would have changed the whole history of the church. The martyrdom, that was the seed. It says the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So I want you to think about that. They're being fed to the lions, burned at the stake, buried alive. But it was a battle of the mind, because the average citizen, and one thing that we have found in archaeological digs is more so than even nowadays, there was a fear of death that was unparalleled. Now you might go, well, Pastor Mike, there's a fear of death all the time. But there was a fear of death. It ruled and reigned the day. One of the greatest witnesses the church had is that as Christians were going to their death, they were at peace. And they were willing to do it for Jesus. Many times in the stands in the Colosseum, people would cry out, Jesus, I believe in you, because as they were watching the believers die, they did not fear death. They knew where they were going. Can you imagine the psychological warfare that Satan was waging? Yes, I believe he was inspiring burning them on the stake, but at the same breath, there would be a second wave of attack. That would be getting them to fear for their life so as to deny the Savior that bought them. And if they would have succumbed to that thinking, we wouldn't have the martyrs at all. The church wouldn't even exist. I tell you the truth today, where Satan is hitting all of us, any of us, and every Christian, is he's hitting you in your thinking. That's his first line of attack, and that is filling out the rest. And I guarantee you, if there's an emotional mess, I guarantee you it's due through flawed thinking, to perceptions that are absolutely false and wrong. Sometimes we say, stop feeling that. We got to actually say, stop thinking that way. That's where the battle lies. Imagine that, the whole early church afraid to die, thinking the worst of it, as the culture around them feared death. No martyrs, no death in the Colosseum, just a bunch of denials. And the church would have rose like a match. It would have started really quick, and it would have burnt out really quick. And yet they were taking the thoughts and the fortresses captive to the knowledge of Christ, which was contrary to every kind of thinking and philosophy that surrounded them. And so in the church in the latter days, we are thinking contrary to the culture, thinking contrary to the flesh, thinking contrary to a fallen mindset that we knew outside of Christ. What's really important, all of us are dealing. We are dealing with warfare of thoughts, mental fortresses. That's what we're dealing with. Funny thing is, many times we can feel like we are battling, you know, this situation and that situation. And it's funny, because as we're doing that, we're trying to change a situation that's going to make us feel better. But the reality is, we need to change our thinking, because that's why Christians that are like this, they're up and down, up and down. Because they're always looking to make something go away so they can feel better. But it's how they were viewing that was the problem in the first place. When Paul said, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, the prosperity and poverty, the secret was, it had nothing to do with the situation. That wasn't the secret to his happiness or the joy that he felt or the peace that he felt. He had learned the secret that those things aren't the point of problem. They're not the point of contact, the point of warfare that we face. The enemy's going to always come at you. He's always come at you. But you need to know that thoughts, imaginations, and mental fortresses are the greatest thing you're going to face. You need to know that. This way, when stuff comes and stuff hits you and stuff does what it does, you are not going to be sitting there trying to, you know, immediately change the situation. Now, listen, there are situations God wants you to pray that he is going to end. But one of the secrets of all that, him ending it, is going to come with what's going on in your head, not what's going on with what you think you see or understand. The early church really had a grip on this, which is, and this is the interesting thing. The early church, it's almost like a speed vacuum. I mean, people are getting saved by the thousands. God is building this early church. Literally, the blood of the martyrs was really the seed of the church. In fact, it was really the witness, the early people witnessing, and that word, and martyring, that did something. But so importantly is their minds weren't going to be ruled by fear. Their minds weren't going to have thinking that says, this life is all I got, so I'll do everything to preserve it to the utmost. But they had a perspective that was absolutely dynamic, and it contradicted the culture that surrounded them. And I don't mean simply they were holy, they were morally pure. It goes way, way more than that. Because in those days, there was different people that were pure, and there was religious sects that believed of abstaining from certain fleshly desires. It wasn't that. And then I start to realize, you know, it's first that we think, and then when we think, it starts supporting feelings in our spirit. And I realize that that journey is really fast. In fact, it can happen in a millisecond. It can happen in a minute. You know, isn't it interesting? Think of the different problems that you have faced as a Christian. And so many times there was a thought and there was almost a feeling immediately. And then it just got heavier and the thinking got more and more and the feeling got more and more. Satan understands how our neurology works. He's actually pretty smart about it. He understands how the brain works. He understands how thinking definitely affects a person's emotional status and how you view things that affects your emotional status. And that's why I always tell people, quit making decisions when you're discouraged, because if you do that, quit making decisions when you're in fear. Quit making decisions when you're in the midst of depression. They won't be good ones. And the enemy knows this. He's really good at this. Now, Romans 12:2, we're going to go to a couple places, and talks about giving our lives a living sacrifice to the Lord. But in verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I'll read it again, Romans 12:2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, why does he bring up not being conformed to the world? When you read that, do you understand what Paul's getting at? Because he talks about being conformed to the ways of the world, then he talks about your mind being renewed. Because the world has a way to think, a way to view things, a way that it sees things. And the whole thing that runs everything is always about the way people think. Perception, perception, perception. And he says, don't be conformed to the thinking of the world, but be renewed in your mind. And what he's saying is God's Spirit is in you, and God's Spirit has an ability to pull you up to where your thinking is. It contradicts the way the world thinks. It contradicts being bound to fallen thinking. It contradicts it. It's going to be different. Now, this is the nice part, because often people, they say, you know, I'm going to think more positive. I'm going to think more positive. And it's a lot deeper than that. The Spirit of God, the same one that created the universe, as the Lord said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. The Spirit of God wishes to come into your mind. And this is a daily thing. And the reason it's a daily thing is because every day we are faced with the way we think. Every day. There is a new challenge. There is a new way of thinking. Many times thoughts are even interjected. They're actually being put in by something else. And sometimes there's demonic attacks, and it's not even something. I've had people tell me, I never even thought of this. I can tell you that. I've never even had this thought, and all these bizarre thoughts started coming into my mind. And again, it really comes back to it, because this is really the point, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in walking out your faith, whether it's in the challenges to ministering, whether it's in your prayer life, the enemy will always be around to try to sow a thought. Sometimes a single thought is all it takes, because one thing that we as human beings have an ability to do is think wrongly and then to enforce the thinking that is wrong. And feel and get emotionally wrapped up and get offended and get this. And I've seen it in my own life. So many believers, we've seen it in our lives. But this is also the avenue of God, where he wants to come sometimes. And everything you think you could have thought about something, all of a sudden he renews your mind. It's a fresh frame. And he shows you something. You go, you know, I know they're all saying this, this, and this, but I just saw from the Lord. And man, did that release me, and I feel so different. We need to have these points of battle to understand where it's really coming in. And when we get it through our head, because you can tell Christians that and they'll say, and I've tried to speak this into believers all through the years, and they would say, you don't understand, I'm just being real with what's going on. And I said, so you really understand what's going on in the unseen as well? You're that smart? No, you're being real in that you're studying what you see with your eyes alone. I want you to think about the points of contact, the great points in time. I'll give you a great one. Children of Israel at the Red Sea. Army behind them, sea in front of them. The biggest battle was going on was to stand and believe. Mm-hmm. And that battle in itself was against natural thinking that says, that's an ocean, that's Egypt. Death either way. We either drown or get spirit through. We either drown or get spirit through. That's reality. It's right in front of us. I can see it with my eyes. I got fear raising up. Can you imagine, though, how you've got 1.5 to 2 million people? Do you know how many mental battles are going on in 1.5 million people? And Moses says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And immediately there is a victory in the brain of 1.5 million people. And they saw it as God saw it. They believed. Moses believed. He held his staff out. The sea parts. The greatest battle they were facing wasn't the battle of the Egyptians. The greatest battle was the battle of their mind. Would you believe it when God says it? And when the sea parts, do you think that makes everything better? You think those walls, look at how big they are. We could walk in there, we could be drowned, they could fall on us. They didn't. They went through. And this is the amazing thing. When I read Romans 12:2, I think of that very thing. Think of the points in time. Think of the points in time where history truly was made for God's people. Just as well as put blood on the doorpost, the death angel will pass over tonight. And again, it's right back to how you're going to see it. Do you believe God's doing that? Do you believe I got to put blood? And I can guarantee you, anybody that in their mind went said, you know, who knows this Moses? He was in Pharaoh's house. He might be perverted, corrupted. Yeah, he's a Jew, but he's not been here. I'm not going to believe him. I'm not putting blood up. All that goes on in the mind. And anybody that didn't put it up, their firstborn was killed. Absolutely. I could go over literally 30 minutes. We could go over time and time and time again where the greatest battle was that which was going on in the mind. And the point of contact for the enemy was the mind. This is the point where Satan really does his best work. Whether it's with temptation, whether it's with anger, whether whatever. You name any subject you want, it doesn't matter. This is the point, really, where so many times you're going to really get grilled. Now, many times we're saying, make the situation just right and make this work out so I don't have to doubt you. You know, come through, God, so I don't want to think anything bad. And if I see this, I'm going to think things, I'm all messed up and nothing's going to work. And a lot of times that in and of itself, we're not praying to renew our mind, and we're not renewing our mind. We're praying to see. We're praying the opposite of faith. We're praying for God to solve our doubt problem. But solving our doubt problem has nothing to do with your circumstance. It has to do with the way you think. It has to do with the thinking that you're humoring, what thoughts you're allowing to come in. Now, here's the other point I want to make with you, though. Even as I talk about the battle of the mind, really, God responds to this. And as we do trust, and as we do keep our thinking as according to Christ, and as we do allow our minds to be renewed, because that tells me that the way our neurology is wired, we can have a tendency to falter again. Even after having one victory, we can, in our mind, see it wrong again. How many times have you seen the Lord give you a victory in an area, but I would say just a little time later, the same thing happens again? And I've actually seen Christians, myself included, have an amazing victory in a certain area, and then down the road a little bit, it comes and my thinking's lousy, just like it never happened the first time. Thus the calling for the renewing of your mind. And I actually believe many times this is a daily battle. And it's not a battle to where, oh, I'm losing, help, help, help. But it's a battle to where Satan always has a fresh batch of thinking. Even your own flesh has a way of thinking. And they will always be willing to accommodate you if you want to pull from that pool of imagination. And this is an important thing because, again, you know, it's interesting. If you watch people too, I've seen people that needed friendships, but they had a mindset where it's like, I don't trust anybody. And it's interesting. On the one hand, they wanted relationships, but on the other hand, they said nobody's trustworthy. And that thinking, if you watch them in a crowd, they'd never talk to anybody. They were always closed off. Even though God brought them many people to be friends, it was the battle was in their mind. That was what you're going, well, you shouldn't leave so early. Stick around with the people. And I think those are good suggestions, but their greatest problem was in their brain, not sticking around. Because even when they stuck around, their brain had already given them a lie that caused them to behave a certain way, would not open up to no one. Have you ever seen that? I've seen people say, don't tell anybody your business, ever. And yet the scripture tells us to confess our faults one to another. And yet they'll be in a mindset, you got anything? I'll never forget when I did a confess your faults night. And I started it on Sunday nights way before any of you were around. That was the quietest meeting we ever held. Because I started something and I actually just was stupid enough to believe the scripture. It says, confess your faults and you may be healed. So I figured, let's all sit here. We're going to talk about what's going on, what we're wrestling with, and God's going to give a victory. Forget it. And when someone finally talked, they brought up some real trivial, like you would go, that's not even a fault. Because the mindset was, I'm a private citizen. Mm-hmm. Keep to your business, I'll keep to my business. I don't tell, I don't show weakness, I don't do this. And you could feel it in the room. The mind had won. The thinking had already created a victory. Satan was greatly glorified that night. Nothing happened. About a couple weeks later, I just stopped doing it because I thought, you know what? You know, and every night I'd be like, well, let me talk about my faults, you know, and it started and it ended there. And I was hoping to motivate because, they, you know, people go, oh, the pastor's perfect, so, you know, I'm not going to say what's wrong with me. So I figured, let me throw it out there, some humanity, the things that we all deal with, still nothing. So I did. I stopped the meetings. But this is the point to understand because my prayer, too, is when you get out there, you're going to learn how to bring certain things in subjection to the Spirit, the subjection to the Lord, subjection to His Word. And sometimes you're going to see a point of attack and you're going to realize, my Lord, this is all going on in my head. And even though there might be a real situation, my battle is my situation. My battle is how I'm seeing my situation. My battle is what I'm thinking about the future. My battle is sometimes thoughts that are getting interjected that are actually wrecking me. Because as so a man thinks, so he is. There's a great truth to that. There's a great truth to that. I've seen people frustrated with continual failure and, you know, wanting to get a hold of that. It might be a job, might be something in the kingdom of God. And they were so down on themselves when the door opened, they were flat-footed. They were like, hum. They didn't know what to say. Somebody tried to offer them something. And I'd watch it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they just sabotaged the door. But again, when thinking is wrong, that's what begins to happen. That's a very important thing. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3. We're just going to read this. And believe it or not, I don't have a super long message. And I know you're going to find it hard to believe. And you'll say, Mike, Pastor Mike, I'll see that one. I'll believe that actually when it actually happens and you dismiss us. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, I'm reading out of the NASB, verses 3 through 6. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now, Paul talks about divinely powerful weapons, but what's interesting, as he talks about the warfare, he talks about what they do, and he's actually talking about divine weapons that destroy bad thinking. That's actually what he's talking about. And the first thing he says, that our weapons are for the destruction of fortresses. Speculations and lofty thoughts that come against God's truth. And I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but you get the image there. Now what's interesting, we are designed in such a way, and I actually believe this is the design of God. I don't believe it's something that the devil made. I believe that you have an ability when you think away a certain way, and you got a pattern of thought that comes, I believe you have an ability to build a fortress around that right thinking, to defend proper thinking. Everybody does. Non-believers do the same thing. They'll have a way of thinking. If you challenge it, sometimes they'll get mad, sometimes they won't get mad, but they'll disagree with you, and they'll have all these defenses built up to protect a particular way of seeing things. This is not abnormal. This is not weird. I don't even think it's devilish. I think it can be used for corruption. But just as Paul said, hey, we don't war according to the flesh. So meaning we're not trying to change fleshly situations all the time. We're not trying to rearrange the furniture in our life such as a situation. But our weapons are powerful and they're divinely powered. And they are they actually are made for the destruction of fortresses, lofty thinking. The whole thing deals within the spirit and it deals with the thinking of man. Now here's the interesting thing. I've counseled with a lot of people as a pastor. I've given a lot of advice through the years. And the one thing that I've always found interesting is many times Christians will say, you know, I want to do this, or I want to go farther, or I want to get higher. And I think many times they're very sincere. But what I will find later, and this took some years because I was fairly naive, but I realized that they would harbor ways of thinking. They'd build fortresses around certain baggage, sort of dysfunctions. They would actually build a fortress around it. And they would lay out before God, and you could talk to them, and you could speak into them, and they'd have a gratitude. You start touching the fortress, and they were like a little kid. They pout. They wouldn't talk to you. They were actually turned into a juvenile. Because they had a fortress, and you were actually trying to say, we got to destroy this fortress. The reason this is repetitious is because this way of thinking is so flawed, but you've built so many walls around it. Unless that thing gets destroyed, you're going to keep repeating the mistakes you make again, again, and again, and it will never dissipate. Because you got to take the fortress down to get the thinking that the fortress was built around. And ask yourself a question, too. When you are posed with biblical answers to questions, if you start resisting, to me, that's a manifestation that you've built a fortress around some really bad thinking. Do you ever hear an answer and say, let me ask somebody else, especially when the answer is biblical and straight truth? Why? That isn't a go talk to mom because dad said, no, that's a lot worse. That's talk to someone else besides the Father God. And what the heck answer do you think you get when you don't want to hear what God says? There is no answer from that. I find it amazing. The fortress is that all of us, myself included, that we build. And we always give a reason with the fortress. There's a thinking way we can think that can be destructive to our life, minimally, or it can be a maximum destruction. And we build this logic that isn't Bible, isn't supported by Scripture at all. And then we either do the, this is the way I am. Well, I don't buy that because when I get saved, there were so many ways that I was. It would have absolutely unhinged my Christianity. It would have absolutely destroyed my walk had I not allowed God to get in there. But even myself, just like many of us, I had many fortresses. Some I didn't even realize were really ingrained in me, and they were wrong. And I didn't realize God gave me divinely powerful weapons. In fact, many mindsets I protected without realizing it, and God has to sort that stuff through. That's why I don't sit here and make some list of all the fortresses we built. But I will name a few. Certain things, I mean, the way we do things, comfort zones. We build fortresses around thinking about comfort zones because we're comfortable with them. It's not different. It's not new. Therefore, I have always did it this way, and this makes me comfortable. Good luck with that. That can be really treacherous, guys. I've did that. We build fortresses around thinking that brings bitterness or unforgiveness. Absolutely. We defend it. In fact, bitterness doesn't, it's not just an emotion. It comes from a type of thinking that's extremely flawed. Bitterness comes from a thinking that is not like Jesus at all, nor is the mind of God in unforgiveness. When we won't release things, there's a mindset, whether it's one that goes, well, they did this, or I'm accusing them of this, or they failed me. And it's an actual mindset supporting the emotion. We think we just got this, just wrestling with this feeling. You're not really wrestling with a feeling. You're wrestling with a feeling that came from an imagination, and that imagination goes against the Scripture, goes against the truth. It's a lie. So we build a fortress around a perception that's based on a lie, and then we start to feel a whole lot of things. Now, I'm saying that not for one of you or two of you, but for all of us and anybody that is listening to this sermon. But the divinely powerful weapons, you have them as good as I have them. When it really talks about what we've been given to take these fortresses down, speculations, it doesn't say that some Christians have greater divinely powerful weapons to destroy fortresses than others. Paul just said, hey, we don't war according to the flesh because the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Isn't that awesome? Destroying thoughts, destroying speculations, and everything that that it says that we're taking every thought captive to the obedience in Christ. And it goes on also, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So when the enemy comes and tries to say, you know, God's failed you. You know, this isn't going nowhere. You know, this, he's not hearing you. That stuff is garbage. It's lies. Don't ever make friends with a lie. Because if you make friends with a lie, you make friends with an enemy. And if you make friends with an enemy, he will kill you. You know, we had a policy when I was on a special tactics unit. And basically, we were made to neutralize prison riots. Now, it's a really rough business, I got to tell you. And I highly do not recommend it for anybody, honestly. But I remember in the academy, because if we were in the towers, we were sniping. If we were on the ground, we had a 4-foot riot stick. They're really hard. They're small. But trust me, they do the trick. And basically, when we would have our tactical gear and go into the yard, you had to swing it. I remember in training, I had a bit of a hard time. I didn't have a hard time with it, but you're just yelling down, down, down. And everything that doesn't go down, you put down. Even if somebody's like, I'm confused, you're putting them down. That means you're hitting them in the head. You know, it's interesting, when you look at the way we are, we're so reserved sometimes when we need to destroy. And you know, there were officers that lost their life for getting a mental break in the middle of a riot because they stalled, they didn't function, and they had a sheath put in their back. Because anybody that's up can hurt you. And if people are laid out, they're less apt to hurt you. I want you to think about something, how we look at some of this stuff. How are the power of your weapons you're looking at right now? What do you think? Do you wrestle with the point of destruction? Do you really want to bring it? Or do you want to let an enemy be alive that can kill you at a later date? And this is sometimes we do ourselves a disservice because we have thinking that is highly, highly volatile. We have thinking that is dangerous, and we'll humor it. We'll keep it around. Even if we get rid of it, we'll like move it to the back closet and pull it out when it needs to be. Think about this. When's the last time you realized you had a fortress of thought that was dangerous to your existence, but you didn't really destroy it? You kind of subdued it. There is a thought process when we destroy lofty things raised against the knowledge of God, because when we destroy them, in a sense, there becomes a disdain for that way of thinking. If you don't really disdain and dislike something, you're going to buddy up with it later. And that's an interesting thing. When's the last time you took speculations and lofty thoughts or even realized that what was going on? You're like, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I got these thoughts coming and they're maybe like kicking your rear end and you're kind of going, I know they're bad. Not really, not the way you're talking. You really don't know they're bad. You're saying they're bad and you believe because you say that somehow that means that's how you feel. But the truth is, by your talking, there's still an affection there. That it says to destroy the fortresses. Destroy them. Destroy the fortress of thought that is absolutely has the ability to bring you down. Destroy the fortress you build around thinking that is wrong. Destroy the fortress we build around thinking that actually is the opposite of the Word of God. You know, the enemy is real smart, guys. He knows the way our brains work. He just has to sow a small seed. Like, God's really not watching. You're on your own. That's all he has to do. If we take it in and we begin to feed, it grows quickly, very quickly. And it will cause emotional distress, depression, doubt. Nobody's like superhuman what if they allow these thinkings that they will not have a hard time with them. And that's part of the point of this whole warfare. It starts in the mind. There's nothing you ever did that you didn't think about first. Trust me on that. There's no such thing. People believe that. I've seen people go, I just did this. And it's like, no, you didn't just do that. There was a thought, and you humored it. And then it got bigger. Then you involved yourself with it. Now your emotions, you're feeling through it. Maybe you even got somebody else to feel through it. That's called the point of contact, the point of warfare. That's not a mystery. It's not hard to understand. It is exactly what it is. Satan doesn't want you to get at the source. He really doesn't. He wants you to build fortresses around wrong thinking. He even wants to sometimes use rationale, religious reasoning, even though the bottom line contradicts the scripture. Satan is really good at mixing partial lies with truth. In fact, that's his specialty. Satan's other specialty is to work in the presence of God. So the fact that the Holy Spirit is in the believer doesn't necessarily mean Satan has a problem working right next to it. He does. Remember, he took a third of heaven and deceived them in the presence of God. He's a master at sitting in the glory and lying. Are you with me? You can sit. I've often seen Christians go, you don't understand. I was just in the glory. We were worshiping. And I went home and we had this horrible fight. It's like, and you think that's weird. Like, I don't get it. How could that happen with the glory of God? That's like, I don't get it. How can't you understand in the scripture that Satan brought a third of heaven down right in the presence of the omniscient God, omnipresent God? This is the nature of the devil you deal with. He actually likes it. He's more comfortable in the church and the presence of God than he is out there in dry places. He's familiar. In fact, that's his MO. That's exactly what he does. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In closing today, it is really simple. Satan helps create fortresses. So do we. Satan loves to interject garbage. And then even without the devil, our fallen nature has an ability to think so lousy. But I want to put this to you today. There is no thinking or fortress that the enemy has brought to your life that God cannot absolutely flush out. But are you going to be willing to reject a thought? Things start with the thought. God's not coming through. That's a thought. That blossoms into all kinds of garbage. That's a lie. I don't give credence to lies and run around with a bunch of emotions based on a bunch of lies. Because if I do that, we all become raving messes. If we do that, we all become emotionally screwed up. This is really critical and is really important. Because on the other flip side of the coin, when we have humored that one thing, it didn't end with a thought. In fact, here's the other bad thing. When a thought is interjected or you allow it on your own, no matter whether it has to do with anger, lust, anything, it'll get a life of its own very quickly. If it's grabbed, if it's embraced, it'll... In fact, it's funny. The original thought, many times sowed, you wouldn't even recognize it down the road because what it becomes is so ugly and so big, you don't realize you're sitting at the harvest end of bad thinking. And now here it is, and it's a mess. And in that way, we go, I never thought that. No, you didn't. But remember this thought right here? You lit it in. And that little seed had the ability to become this all day long. You know, it says a man that has control over his spirit is better than a man that has control over his whole body. Or city. And there's a reason for that. Because there's such a vastness when you can control your own spirit. When you can control your own thinking. When you can destroy speculations. As we close today, I want to tell you this, and it means a lot to me. I know everyone in the sanctuary, and the good part about that today is that I can clearly say that I've seen so many amazing things in every one of you. I've seen an ability to come through. I've seen growth. But I really feel like just dealing with speculations and lofty things that raise themselves against the knowledge of Christ is one of the most critical things. And it's at your life. It's really what you're dealing with. This is why, though, when we get convinced that it's all about our situation, that as situations change, we're the same people. It's funny. You can take a person that likes to complain and curse whatever. Curse their job, curse their life, curse their marriage. You watch them. You can give them brand new everything, and they're cursing it before long. Why? Because they have a fortress of thinking that's absolutely wrong. And it doesn't matter if you change their situation. Because unfortunately, you know, it's interesting. When you are your worst problem, and believe me, I've been my worst problem, it doesn't matter what you change scenery-wise because you bring yourself to the game. It's the same you. That's the problem. I've had people say, I've had all this trouble. I'm leaving the state. And I said, one problem. And they said, what? I said, you're moving to the state. So when you go there, you'll still be there. And I said, and I'm telling you, because many times people are like, you're trying to hold me back from change. No, I'm trying to help you actually really change. You're just running from yourself. When you run from yourself, that gets difficult. I've done it. It doesn't work because everywhere I go, I'm there. And if I'm my worst enemy, everything I do different, a different place, different scenery, same Mike. This is how it works. This is a reality. And I close in this too. Beware of building fortresses of bad thinking because somehow you have a great reason to think poorly. Rationalization and justification is pride. It is ingrained in our being. It is in our old man. I don't believe any of us are different. We all have the ability to humble ourselves or to be proud. I'm not a master at it any more than you. Because we're all believers, first and foremost. We're believers in Christ with this powerful weapon. But I want to see our minds really take captive these thoughts. And listen, I would say this in closing. If you have things you fight with, sometimes speak them out. And if you got thinking that bothers you, I want you to go to the source of the thinking. Stop just equating with something you're feeling. You're thinking it, you're feeling it because you're thinking a particular way about something. And then sometimes go to that lie that's got in there and say, that is an absolute lie. There's no truth to that. And that contradicts the Word of God. Most importantly, that goes against the Word of God. Satan tells me I'm out of the loop. God's not even hearing my prayers. Satan tells me I'm on a shelf, that I'm not even in the range of God. Well, that just defies all kinds of scripture. God's got no purpose for me. God doesn't like me. You know, you get all this bizarre thinking, you know. And it's interesting. I saw this in closing. I met a person that had multiple troubled marriages, and they really needed to be a whole person. And they said they had a thinking like, I got to have a new wife every time they lose one. Their thinking was they didn't believe that they could be their own person. They couldn't be on their own. That was a mistake, actually. In fact, until they were really whole in themselves, you know what I'm saying? They weren't going to bring anything else to a relationship. But they kept changing the pieces, you know, it was going to work. They were one of the greatest problems. But it's interesting. You try to get at that just to see people freed up. And many times people think you're trying to take their phone, or you're trying to take this. You're not trying to take any of it. You're actually trying to get them to a place where they can live healthy. And actually be the whole person they're meant to be. Let's all rise and we're going to pray. But I'm grateful to you guys today. Just sitting here worshiping with you guys. I thought, what a privilege and an honor to worship with this people today. How blessed am I. How blessed am I to have the experience with you. To be in relationship with you. I have been, I tell you, blown away. Blown away at the friends we have. Blown away at the family members here that we have. Father, I just thank you, and I just pray that we can, the destruction of fortresses, of the destruction of lofty thinking. Lord, we all get posed with bad thinking. At least I can say I have. I'm sure everybody agrees. We can all get hit with the thought, and sometimes it really brings about emotional states that are not good. Lord, one last prayer. Deliver us from believing our situation is our biggest problem. Many times we are our biggest problems, and the way we've allowed our thinking to descend to is the problem. Lord, if you change that and you destroy fortresses, it liberates us. And when we think different in by the Holy Spirit, we're going to move different. We're going to live different. We're going to speak different. Lord, I thank you that one thing we've all experienced, even when we first got saved, we saw shifts in our being. We saw shifts in our personality. We did things that were out of characteristic, uncharacteristic for us. We've seen that with a lot of, you know, being talked into. Many here, it was overnight that certain things just died off. Lord, I thank you. And I pray, Lord, anybody even listening to the sermons, watching it on video, would have this, you know, that you would break yokes, God. You would break yokes. I know you've been speaking to me. You want to free up. You want to free up, empower people. You love your kids. You want to free your kids up and give them a victory, God. You want to put thinking of success in your people too. And as you bring success, they're going to walk in it. They're going to step right into it. They're not going to be afraid of it. But I thank you, Lord, that many brothers and sisters went beyond me. I remember the day, and I see it in the scripture, where well over 1 million people had their act together and they trusted what the Lord said versus thinking of fear. And they walked through the Red Sea as on dry ground. We read about it in the Bible. It's made into songs. It's made into movies. It's funny, but what a victory you had that day. So I look at my life as small potatoes, Father. I do. Compared to that, I look at things I face, and it's like, okay. But I pray as we close, you would release fear in the name of Jesus. Fear can be, it says, if we walk in fear, we're in torment. And I know the torment of fear personally. And I pray victory, boldness where there once was fear. I pray one more thing too, hope. If there's been hope that somehow the enemy has gotten in there and just convinced people that it is hopeless, that, you know, I've seen it all, I'm not, there's no more. And they're just looking at the moment they're in as opposed to this lifespan that you're breathing into them. We pray a release of that in the name of Jesus, a freedom of that in the name of Jesus. Elevate, Father. Elevate. I believe you're breaking yokes, God. And Lord, I speak on this with deep experience in my own life of thinking and fortresses and speculations. And I think a lot of people here can relate. We've all been there. Help us to daily renew our minds. As we, last thing I pray, that we would understand that the renewing in the spirit of my mind, that the Holy Spirit, you've given a power to actually overcome bad thinking. You've given a power to think with the mind of Christ. And Lord, maybe we don't focus on this enough sometimes, but I know it's something that is really important to you and to us for our lives. So bless it, God. It's not so much some turning over of a new life. It's really utilizing a power that's already been seated in us by your Spirit. And help, Lord, everybody to know, Lord, it's equal billing. You give the same cup. As far as stuff like this, you give everybody divinely powerful weapons for the destroying of fortresses, speculations, and lofty thoughts against Christ. That's a fact. We declare that out today. And we go together here in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. God bless everybody.
Pastor Appreciation.
Oh, gee. Okay.
We're going to pray for Pastor Mike here.
Appreciate that.
And Anna.
I was going to say.
Come on up here, woman.
God told me. He said, bring Anna up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She's always to be up here.
Everybody come around, maybe?
Yeah.
Yes.
We can. You want me to move this?
Yeah. Thanks.
Yes, it would be fitting to have all family and friends together. Thank you, God.
Father God, I just thank you for our pastor.
Yes,
Anna.
Yes.
Well, they have destroyed many speculations that we brought forth to them. And they have always corrected us in love. And we just pray a blessing. Pray a healing, God, on our pastor in the name of Jesus. He told us that, you know, bring the elders around.
That's right.
Prayer and faith.
That's right.
Bring healing, God. And we are asking that in the name of Jesus.
That's right. That's good. That's good. That is good.
Lord, we just pray for another year. Lord, let's see a breakout this year.
That's right.
Let this be the year, Lord. We step out in faith and say that, God. This would be the year you would build New Life Assembly. This coming year, God. Bless them and keep them. And we just pray an awesome potluck, God.
Yes, God.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Father, we pray too, a filling and a refilling for them, God.
Yes,
where they are weary, God, I pray, God, you would lift them up, God, that they are truly finding shelter under the shadow of your wing, God. Father, that there would be garments of praise, God, where there is weariness, God, where you would, I always get this wrong, strengthen weak hands and people.
Yes, that's fine. Or what?
You know what it is, God, but look,
right.
Where there is
that's
that,
right.
Lord, be the glory and the lifter of God, God.
Yes.
That, Jesus, for the joy set before him, like endured the cross, Father. So I pray, Father, that you would give us vision, that you would give Pastor Mike and a vision, God, your vision for their family, for their marriage, but for new life, God. And that we as sheep would follow along and we wouldn't be so stubborn, God, but that we would have the same vision, God, that you are saying, so we would be truly one heart and one mind, united in Christ, God. So we pray that mind of Christ that you are doing, God, and you be their provider and the glory and the lifter of their head, I pray, Father.
Father God, I just pray also for Pastor Mike Masano, Lord. Again, just as well as pray the refilling, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Refilling this
yes.
year, Lord. Lord, even any kind of stress or anything of this past year, anything heaviness for this past year, would just be removed, Lord, lifted in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, they just go into this next season, Lord, just with fresh anointing, Lord, fresh vision from your Spirit, God. And this is strengthening your spirit. Lord, I pray to you, Lord, just for healing. Lord, help us too, Lord, to be unified, Lord, in the New Life Assembly, and also in that prayer, Lord, that each of us would be unified in the mission of prayer, Lord, and seeking you out, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, guys. I guess